You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards it's a goal! Oh, it's the United's Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Oh,
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In this Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from Saturday's crucial away trip to AFC Telford United.
Hello, this is John Champion. You're listening to FC United Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Cockers, and welcome to this week's This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. Very shortly, we'll be heading down to Shropshire to hear if Renner's Reds could get a vital 3 points against promotion-chasing AFC Telford United. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week with the news that for the first time in 4 years, the Be The 12th Man Development Fund competition will be running once again at the club. With tickets priced at only £5 each on sale till the end of March, the draw will be held on the pitch at Broadhurst on the 30th of March at our home game versus Nuneaton Borough. The lucky winner will win a place in the FC United first team squad, travelling with the team to away games, taking part in the warm-ups, attending training, and the prize is open to both male and female entrants. So make sure you purchase your ticket this Saturday at Broadhurst Park. Elsewhere, in the second annual FC Youth Sports Day will be taking place this summer. All junior members are invited to take part with the usual sack race, egg and spoon race, parent and child three-legged race, plus lots of other events and activities as well. The event will take place on the 3G pitches on Sunday the 23rd of June from 1 till 4pm. And for more information, please contact Chris B on chrisb@fc-utd.co.uk. And finally, it was announced late last week that goalkeeper Andy Fisher, who is on loan to FC United from Blackburn Rovers, has extended his loan with the club for a further month. Whilst loanee defender Billy Sass-Davies has returned to Crewe, having played 8 times for the Reds. Here's FC United manager Neil Reynolds speaking to Ben on Friday night.
So, Neil, a big thank you for joining us on a Friday night. Some players come in, some players go in, and the main news is about the extension of Andy Fisher on loan. That's very welcomed for the running.
Yeah, it's amazing news. Fisher's done great for us since he's been in. I think it's 4 games he's played now, and you know, he suffered 1 defeat in the 4 games. And he's definitely added, you know, competition and quality to the starting 11, and that's what we were trying to do. And that's no disrespect to Lloyd or anyone else that played before. It was just, you know, an area that we felt that we needed strengthening. Fisher's come in and done really well. And, you know, could we extend it for another month was a question that we posed to the club. And Blackburn have been delighted the way he's been looked after and everything to do with the club. And, you know, for them, it was a no-brainer. Said he's enjoyed his football. He's getting good experience. So he stays for another month. And hopefully at the end of that month, we'll get him for the remainder of the season. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
And I know it's commonplace in non-league, but for FC United, this season's been quite a rare one in the fact that, you know, we have been rubbing shoulders with Football League clubs and building those relationships, and that's healthy for the future, isn't it?
I think that's key, you know, and, you know, I'm fortunate to work with a lot of people within the Football League and non-league football, and it's just building relationships, and you never know who you'll work with or what favours you need along the line, but also if you are going to work with clubs and you're going to take players from clubs, then you need to look after them and treat them the way they be treated by the host club. And, you know, that's exactly what we do. We make sure our training is professional and organised. We make sure match day is professional and organised. And we give the people the experience that they need to kick on in their own career. And you know, you never know if it doesn't work out from there. They've always had that good experience at FC United or the club that I've been at. And they come knocking on your door and say they'd like to play for you again. So that's, you know, that's my philosophy. just to make sure that we work well with the clubs and we look after the professionals the best that we can do.
And obviously, the other news is Billy Sass Davis has gone back to Crewe. That means as well that, you know, the likes of Zen Mohamed, who he took a bit of a knock with his confidence with a couple of those deflected goals a few weeks ago. It is about confidence building for these young lads.
I think firstly with Zen, we've been open and honest with Accrington Stanley, and I've got a good relationship with the management team there, and I explained the reasons for leaving Zen out. Zen did make, you know, in his eyes, made a couple of errors, and, you know, not for us. You know, we all say it was going to be experience, and when you put yourself on, you know, go across the white line, that you're going to either get plaudits or you're going to make mistakes, and it's how you come back from them. Zen took him quite badly. You're going to do when you're a young lad. We thought the best thing to do for Zen was to take him out of the team for a couple of games. His attitude, his professionalism hasn't altered, and he just wanted to get back in. And like you said, due to the departure of Billy, the door now opens for Zen to come back in. But Zen may have come back in tomorrow anyway, despite, you know, Billy going back to his host club, because, you know, he's that good of a player, and we feel he just needed that break, and he'll come back in, and he's trained superbly well this week, and he's chomping at the bit tomorrow to go and play. As for Billy, disappointingly, Billy's been great for FC United, and a few weeks ago, after the Altrincham game, his head was slightly turned, where the Altrincham manager contacted Crewe and said they'd like to take him. Crewe put it to Billy, and Billy said, you know, he likes to FC United. And then, you know, surprisingly, the manager decided to call Crewe again and probably not come through me and just tell me that what he was going to do. But, you know, went to Crewe, and he's turned the lad's head this way, and he's enticed the player away from the promotion battle in his eyes, you know, away from a relegation battle that he's quoted about us. But, you know, it's part and parcel of football. Billy's been great for us. Billy certainly don't do anything wrong. He wants to go and play, you know, the best possible level he can do. So, you know, it was down to Crewe Alexander, his agent, his parents, his friends, and obviously the sway of Altrincham. So Billy leaves us. Billy leaves us, and, you know, he's helped us in our little quest, and hopefully he goes on and be successful for Crewe Alexander.
Zen Mohamed coming in, potentially. I'm not picking your team for you, Neil. You understand. But obviously, we saw Dale Whittam limp off, and in a strange way, that kind of helped on Saturday, because then Winter came on and he had the bit between his teeth. But Dale Whittam tomorrow, it did look like he had a bit of a knock there last week.
Yeah, he did. He potentially could have cracked his ribs. Spoke to the physio, and, you know, it could be a number of weeks for Dale. We'll have to monitor it week by week. But like we said on the radio after the game last week, you know, we don't like to see anybody injured, but it forces us into a substitution. But Harry Winter came on and did superbly well. And dragged us back into that game. You know, I thought it was either his influence and the way he played and the way he moved the ball and got all the puzzles around him working. You know, he was one of the main reasons we got back in the game last week. And despite if Dale was injured or he wasn't injured, I'd be looking at bringing Harry back in. What he does is he's now forced that decision for you. Not just for Harry, but who else plays. But I think the last time that, you know, looking at the midfield selection for tomorrow, last time I think Harry and Josh was able to play together just on their own, maybe away at Bradford, and we won. So, you know, is that an omen? You know, we'll have to go and see. But, you know, we're going to miss Dale. Dale's been fantastic for us, and hopefully we can get him back to fitness as soon as possible. But until then, you know, we've got all the quality in the middle of the park. So, you know, it's up to them lads who get the shirts to deliver the goods.
Now, what's your target then for tomorrow? Because we've never got anything at Telford. Even when we've gone in the lead at Telford, you always get the feeling, no, this isn't going to happen. But what's your own target?
You're asking me, man. You know what I'm going to say. And, you know, I'm probably here to be shot at, because people, you know, we haven't won at Telford, so the people say that we're going to go and lose, or, you know, would a point be a good result? You know, I don't know. You know, look at all the games that we've played. Altrincham, Stockport, your Bostons, your Chesters, you know, the teams at the top end of the league. There isn't a great deal in the game. Telford at home, when a poor refereeing decision has cost us and we've lost 2-1. You know, the table obviously says that Telford win tomorrow. My team, my philosophy, my squad are all in the belief that we can go there and get something tomorrow. But another pleasing performance would be good, but three would be incredible. And, you know, who wrote us off against Bradford when we went to Bradford and went and won 3-2? We're good on the road. You know, it's kind of a free hit, if you will, tomorrow, because there isn't pressure on us because of what people will expect tomorrow. Not people within the club, but people outside the club, looking at the two teams, how they're placed in the league. We're going down there full of confidence. You know, the last three games for us has been huge. So we go down there tomorrow with a game plan. We've trained hard this week, and you know, like always, we target a win, and that doesn't always happen. But we definitely target a win. A point would be great. 3 points would be amazing.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds speaking to Ben there on Friday afternoon. To Saturday's football now, and FC United had a tough assignment as the Reds travelled to playoff-chasing AFC Telford United. To hear how the match went, it's over to FC Live.
So, hello everybody and welcome to FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCody.com and the Armchair Army. Stato Paul is with me. Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon.
So, a big game. I'm fed up of saying this every single week. It is a big game, but in the running that we've been talking about, this has always been the one where we've gone, well, we're not going to get anything out of that one.
Yeah, it's, well, looking at our recent form, you could say it's a one-pointer, but it goes much bigger than that.
Is it a two-pointer then?
It could be. You never know.
Well, we've got full commentary coming your way shortly, but this is, it's the Guiseley aren't playing today. Their match at Spennymoor has been postponed due to a good old-fashioned waterlogging. So it's 6 points the gap. We've 9 games left of the season, Paul.
If we have it today...
If we get anything today, the pressure's suddenly on guys, isn't it?
Yeah, we feel that. And obviously, a win today can trigger another win and things move on. And we've been saying this for 3 weeks now, that we need a win to kickstart the survival fight. But we're at a ground here where we've lost all 4 previous visits. They've got a striker who's scored 17 goals in the league, the most without penalties assisted. So, you know, Telford in 6th, they're chasing the playoffs. Everything's stacked up against FC this afternoon, which means we should win.
There are a couple of things that we need to throw out there as well. The pitch is sticky. I think that's the right way to say it.
Well, I was talking to somebody who was here in midweek, and there was standing water in places, and it's much better than then, apparently. So you can imagine how bad it was in midweek.
There's no chance you could go swimming on it, Paul, but it is very muddy, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, we thought Southport's ground was going to be sandy, but this is definitely sandy.
The other thing to add as well is that Telford, as well as being in a promotion race at the moment at the top of the National League North, they're also in the semi-finals of the FA Trophy, a two-legged affair with Leighton Orient coming up. That could, because they are that close to Wembley now, that could be a bit of a distraction for them.
It's certainly going to be in their thoughts, I think. It's hard to... I mean, we've been in this situation ourselves with cup runs and how it's disrupted our season. Trouble is with our cup runs, they're normally in September and October rather than March. But it is a tantalising one when they've got a two-legged semi-final against a team that was in the Football League very recently and aspirations of playing at Wembley. So, again, you know, they've got to... one game at a time, the old cliche, isn't it? But it's very hard to get that in the players' minds.
All that said, we've never got anything here, have we? Not much against Telford. What, 9 previous meetings, 1 draw, 1 win?
Yeah, I mean, it's that bad. We talk about, somebody said to me before, are we your bogey team? And I said, well, you're one of our bogey teams. I mean, Darlington are definitely another one, and Halifax are another one. But it's a game, it's a ground where we've got nothing at all in the past, and one day that's got to change. And the fans have come today in the feeling that they've got to come today because one day we'll win at Telford and they don't want to miss it.
Coming into this game as well, some team news heading into this game. Billy Sass Davis has gone back to crew. We heard, I've not finished my sentence yet. He's gone back to crew, then gone straight out on loan to Altrincham. Neil Reynolds has commented on that in his pre-match interview, which is available now. Obviously, we wish Billy Sass Davis all the best. So Zen Mohamed has come back into the starting 11. He didn't do much wrong, in all fairness. A couple of deflected goals, and he took a bit of a knock as a result of that.
We're talking about a young lad who's finding his way on loan at a club where he's previously only had really pretty much under 20. Three experience. I mean, it's very, very difficult to step up. And also, of course, we've got our 54th member of the Let's Play for FC this season club involved.
Dominic McHale has signed for the club, a 23-year-old former City Academy, formerly of Salford, and he did score for Ashton United against us earlier on in the season.
Yes, we won't go into that.
Well, I did bring it up. And also signing for us for another month, extending his loan period, Andy Fisher. And
One defeat in four since he's gone in goal for FC United.
Yeah, I think he's done very well. Filling in for Lloyd Ellington, who's obviously had a bit of a difficult patch this season. I think he's done really well. He's probably been, you could argue so far, maybe the best lone keeper we've had this season.
That's some accolade, I think.
And that's amongst a string of keepers that we've had.
Well, FC United now coming out on the pitch, so it's now time to hand over to our expert commentary team for this afternoon's game. It's FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCody.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. And here is Stato Paul, but first, me. It's back with Mohamed, and good defending there by Mohamed, and he gets it there to find Donoghue. Donoghue charging forward now through the middle, out to his left-hand side to find Bannister. Bannister now into the penalty area. Couple of tricks to the byline, crosses that ball to the penalty spot. McHale's there! FC United on 35 minutes take the lead, Paul.
Well, the debutant McHale has scored after good work by Bannister on the left-hand side. He picked his moment for the cutback, and it was absolutely perfect for McHale to run in and shoot past the keeper.
Well, there's two other players involved in that. Mohamed winning the ball back once again, superb defending, finds Donoghue, drove the ball through the middle, finds Bannister. Bannister, a lovely ball to find McHale, pretty much on the penalty spot, and a great finish. And have you been threatening that, Paul?
It's been coming, yeah. They've created one or two good openings before this, and FC are certainly worthy of a lead at this stage, perhaps.
Throwing to FC United just in front of the home dugout. Morton takes it. Willoughby flicks the ball on there to find McHale. McHale now has got two white shirts in front of him, but finds Willoughby. Willoughby now on the right hand side of the penalty area, crosses that ball into Bannister. Hits the bar from a yard out.
Oh, my God.
Oh, how did he miss that? Oh. Well, we talked about Piers missing sitters in recent weeks, but Bannister just missed one there. I think the goalkeeper did just enough to put him off, in all fairness.
Yeah.
But the score remains 1-0.
1 minute being added.
Well, Telford there getting into a bit of a mix-up. McQuilkin gives the ball away, and Donoghue here. Donoghue's through. Donoghue! Oh, good save from the goalkeeper, but Donoghue should have buried that. Oh, he really should, shouldn't he?
It could be 3-0.
But Telford there helping FC United out, but FC United couldn't convert the chance. Missed the corner.
Regret these two opportunities that have been spurned.
We're coming up to the second minute of added time in this first half, and it's going to be Donoghue to take this corner from this left hand side, probably going to be the last chance of this first half. Donoghue now crosses this ball in towards the back post. Who's rising? It's cleared only as far as Bannister. Bannister though is facing the wrong way, and the referee blows his whistle. Half time at New Brookstead Stadium, and the score is AFC Telford United 0, FC United and Manchester 1. But really, Paul,
well, the dissatisfaction around us tells its own story, and it's a happy story as far as we're concerned. FC one goal to the good, but it could have been much, much more.
It really could, and like you said, Paul, are we going to rue that?
Well,
90 minutes, but all good at the moment here at the New Brookstead Stadium. 1-0 the score to the visitors. This is FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCody.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. A couple of adverts coming up, and then stand by your beds. It's Woodso.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
Brought to you by ConstructiveCoding.com.
Woodso's with us.
Hello.
It was interesting, and something that Stato Paul picked up upon was Donoghue coming off there, being consoled. And,
yeah,
and that's the thing. Donoghue's very much a confidence player. And, you know, that chance there at the end, it was a good save by the goalkeeper, in all fairness.
Should've
he should have took it a bit sooner. But once you get to that one-on-one stage, it could go one of two ways. And in that instance, the goalkeeper saved it. But interesting, because it does look like FC United, if they're going to win this game, it is going to be driving in from the channel either side of the penalty area, and that's where Donoghue and Bannister come into their own. And we saw that with the goal, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, like I said briefly during the half, you know, that, I think I said it was coming. That might be a little bit generous to say it was coming, but we got in a couple of times, and the point I wanted to make now, which I didn't make earlier, is a couple of times Bannister's got in behind, and I go back 2 weeks to Southport when Piers got in behind. Both of them, Bannister's done it a couple of times today. Partly today because he's on the left-hand side, he's having to pull it back onto his right foot. But Piers at Southport took that extra touch, whereby more confidence in their own ability to put the ball in earlier would have resulted in goals. Because at Southport the other week, Willoughby was stood with nobody anywhere near him with a tap in, by which time the defender had come back. And Bannister did it a couple of times down here where you were just wanting him to get that cross in, and he took the extra touch. He just let the defenders come back. The first one was unlucky because he was actually cleared sort of off the line, but it wasn't a chance per se. But the goal, he actually did, you know, it,
I mean, it was coming.
It's a great move.
In all fairness, well, I think it was. Okay. Because we created a couple of chances where we it was always to Willoughby, and he just dragged it wide. It was a couple of times.
Yeah.
In that instance, I mean, we'll come to the defence in a second, but Mohamed has been stunning.
Yeah.
He wins the ball, gets it to Donoghue, and this is what we're saying about the confidence. I'd like to see Donoghue on a high throughout a 90 minutes, because when he's on it, driving through the middle, finds Bannister. Bannister plays the ball into McHale, who's a story in himself in that first half. He slots it in, and FC United go 1-0 up, and we deserve it, in all fairness.
I think we've after the first 5-10 minutes where it looked a bit sticky, like you were saying on commentary, it wasn't coming out of the half, and then a lot of ball, it looks a bit ominous. But after that, we've more, like Paul said, we've more than contributed. I think.
Well, can we talk about one of the chances? I mean, we talked about the Donoghue one.
The Bannister
what about
one.
The Bannister one on the back post? I mean, in all fairness, Bursic,
I think
was
called it
never
right, yeah.
getting to that ball, but he did enough.
He did enough to
he did enough.
Get in front of Bannister and put him up. And even if he'd have put a bit more power on the header, that he'd come off the bar a bit harder, it probably would have hit the keeper and gone in.
Yeah.
It just dropped, hit him, and then they cleared it. It a bit more pace on the header would have probably seen it bobbling for an own goal. So it should and could very easily be 3-0. Let's be honest, you know, and my epiphany they had before the game when I was predicting Hereford and Blythe-esque, I wouldn't have been far off the mark there.
No, you wouldn't.
But as it is, it's 1-0, and the worry is, not now because we've scored, especially in a game like this against a decent side, if we'd have conceded first, it's game over, I think, because I don't think we can get back into games against big teams like this, because they know we struggle to have the guile to get past teams once they've got a lead. We've got the lead, they've got to come and play. You saw some of the reaction from one or two of the fans. It wasn't Hereford-esque,
no,
to be fair,
no.
But you can see they're a little dissatisfied with the performance. I don't think the Telford performance has been one so far in the first half that merits a team who are necessarily in the semi-finals of the trophy and up at the top of the league. They've not played badly, but I was expecting more from them. However, maybe what we said before the game, what you said, maybe some of the, one or two of the players have got an eye on next week and they don't want to get injured. You'd like to think that if it's your club, you know, if we were in the semi-final and we were up the top of the league, our players wouldn't have an eye on it. But I think it's natural. I think the players don't want to get injured. They don't want to miss a chance of playing in the semi-final of a prestigious cup competition. So maybe one or two players have gotten. You know,
I mean, we saw this with Brackley.
And that'll play into our hands.
We saw this with Brackley last year, didn't we? That it did distract them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But you know, are we worthy for? Are we, you know, good for the lead? More than good for it. Yeah,
absolutely. Now let's talk about the defending, and I'm going to leave Morton and O'Halloran because they've got two tricky.
Yeah,
they've got a tricky afternoons.
Yeah,
in all fairness, but Lynch. Lynch and Mohamed have been stunning.
Well, you made a comment in the commentary, didn't you, that you don't think either of them, certainly Mohamed, but you don't think either of them had missed a header. And I think you're absolutely right. Lynch has had a couple of sticky moments with probably the pitch has missed him.
Well, I'm going to come to that.
Hasn't helped him.
McHale has been brilliant, hasn't it?
His first couple of touches, he gave it away, and you think he's forcing this because it's his first game. And then after that, I think he's been, I wouldn't quite say a revelation, but he's not been far off. He's been running at his men, beating his man. He finished well. He's played some good balls. You can see he's a player. You know what? When I messaged somebody, one of our fans last night, and said, have you seen if we signed a new player? And he made a comment saying, you know, good signings, but at this time of the season, you want the signings to have to be exceptional because they've got to come straight in and bang. There's no time for them to settle in. So far, the first 45 minutes, that's exactly what he's done.
Absolutely. Now, the second 45 is going to be very interesting because, judging by the pitch, right, FC United are going to... I've done the defending in no man's land in that first half. In the second half, it's going to be switched. Telford are the ones defending where there's mud in the corners and a beach over on that far side. There was a couple of occasions where I was a bit critical of Winter, of Wallen, of Morton for being on the heels a bit. I don't actually think they were on the heels. They were skidding. It was like Bambi on ice, if I could describe it.
It's possibly a little bit as well. That if it, on a flat pitch, the ball would have reached them. but they're not anticipating the pitch.
The winter pass, I think he slipped as he kicked it.
Yeah, there was.
The thing, the point I'm trying to make is that this is going to be interesting how we take to this half of the pitch, because we're attacking this end now, and
they're attacking the good end. Is the other way of looking at it.
The ball isn't going to stick as much. Ball is going to be a lot more truer.
Yeah.
In the half.
But that should make defending easier as well, though. It should make attacking easier. We should make defending easier. So it does work both ways. Of course, it does.
Well, the other thing that
let's just go for it.
The other elephant in the room, obviously.
Oh,
the Manx knobs are here, the listener. Curtis, donated by the Isle of Man branch, by Lovejoy himself. He does antiques fairs and stuff.
Oh yeah.
We have not scored all season between the minutes of 46 and 60. That's a reminder for those part-time listeners who are unaware of the stat. If we do that today, it's party time on the team bus on the way home.
Oh, what?
The Manx knobs are going to be handed out. We're in official ceremony. Have you brought the party poppers? You have? Well done, Paul. Thanks for reading my memo. Mohammed there. Good header. Forward it goes, and it finds Bannister. Bannister now into the box. Oh, he's touched there, letting him down, but he wins the ball back. Back it goes to Willoughby. Willoughby, can he launch a shot? Checks back on his left foot. Willoughby!
Yes!
FC United 2-0 up, 8 minutes into this second half. And Mohammed again wins the header. Bannister, you think he loses out there, but wins the ball back. Willoughby twists and turns on his left foot into the bottom corner. And FC United 2-0 up, Paul. Oh, and what am I talking about? Get the Manx knobs out.
Get the knobs out. It's knobs time. Well, Bannister's control let him down on the initial chance, but Willoughby took over, and being the master craftsman that he is in goal scoring, he manufactures a shot with his left foot from a position that flashes past Bursic, and all of a sudden FC have a 2-goal lead, and it's quite remarkable.
Well, I never thought I'd see the day, everyone. The Manx knobs have found a new home.
The knobs have gone.
I can finally get them out of the radio bag. Well, that's a poor clearance there from White. And it's going to be a throw-in to FC United. Midway into Telford's half on this main stand side. 15 minutes in the second half. Morton to take this throw-in. Donoghue comes short for it. Donoghue brings the ball under control. Back it goes to Morton. Morton forward to Piers. Piers wins the flick on. Gets the ball back. Piers now to Willoughby. Willoughby lays this ball off to someone. Winter gets the ball back out to the left-hand side with purpose to find Bannister. Bannister now tricks himself but wins the ball back. Back it goes to O'Halloran. O'Halloran finds a pass forward there to Donoghue. Donoghue tries to get that ball, but Wallen plays the ball through there, breaks to Bannister. Bannister across there to Piers. Piers lines up a shot, yes. And it's dream time for FC United. 3-0 up. Piers to the left-hand side of Bursic. Nothing the goalkeeper could do with that one. And with 15 minutes on the clock in the second half, FC United have gone 3-0 up, Paul.
Well, what a master substitution that was. He's been on the pitch a matter of a few minutes, and he's increased the lead to 3. So full credit to the manager. And what a fine finish from Tom Piers.
It's a penalty to Telford.
Ellis Deeney has taken the ball.
And it's going to be Deeney to take this. It's going to make the last minute or so interesting enough.
Could this be a consolation?
Deeney to take this penalty. Steps up. What can Fisher do? Well, it's a fine penalty that from Deeney. Makes the score 3-1. And we've got 30 seconds left of added time. Full time here at the new Buckshead Stadium, and FC United have won this game by 3-1. I repeat, FC United have won this game by 3-1. I'm going to come to Woodzo first because he's going to go shortly. Woodzo, what did you think, mate?
It's certainly not flattered us, has it? I mean, I think of anything, I think the home side have been flattered by that, because we, looking at the score, it should have been probably 3-0 at half time. I think we should be looking at a 5-1, I think. Excellent performance. Can't really fault anybody. I think the full-backs were the weakest in the first half up against two tricky defenders. Certainly came into it in the second half. And, you know, it was a great all-round performance. Can't really, like I say, fault any of them. Mohammed, outstanding. Mikhail on his debut was brilliant. Willoughby led the line brilliantly. It should have been. It could have been more. It should have been more. We should be looking at 5-6-1 very easily.
Well, Woodsaw, a big thank you for joining us. I mean, what do you reckon to that, Paul?
Well, I think it's a bit historic. We've won here for the first time. First time we've got anything from here. The first time we've led here. First time this season we've scored between the 46th and the 60th minute.
So twice.
The Manx knobs have gone, well and truly. Well done for that one. It's been an outstanding team performance. And I feel that after the first 20 minutes of Telford playing their own natural game, when they failed to score against us, I think they ran out of ideas. And FC built themselves into the game gradually, got the lead in the first half and never really looked back.
Right, let's start with the first half then. And there was a couple of opportunities FC United had. Like Woodso said, it should have been 3-0 up. I mean, it was incredible. We weren't 3-0 up, in all fairness.
Well,
Bannister missed a chance. The way it hit the bar. I mean, listen to these FC United fans over here. I mean, they've had a ball this afternoon. And, I don't know what to say, to be honest. I'm pretty stunned.
There's been so much that's happened this afternoon. And nearly all of it has been positive. It's been a very, very impressive team performance. And quite rightly, the FC players are saluting the support they've had, which has been absolutely superb this afternoon. But again, you know, we've been waiting a while for this result. We've been waiting for this victory to try and kickstart the push. And now we've got it. Now we've got it, we'd like to think that we can go on and build on this next week.
Well, it's a big match next week at Broadhurst Park. It's York City, isn't it? York City at Broadhurst Park. It is York City, isn't it? I'm not made that up.
I think so, yeah.
York City at Broadhurst Park. And, we've been saying it's on now for the last couple of weeks. I think we can most definitely say now it is on. That was a stunning performance from FC United. We're not overhyping this. It should have been. I mean, in all fairness, they did hit the post. Dinanga did have a chance on the back post, which he couldn't get to.
The chances at the other end.
I mean, Myers hit the inside of the post. We hit the bar twice, I think. They had a clearance off the line. It was just... Take your chances. I mean, we'll come to each individual performance in a second. But...
Mohamed, man of the match.
Mohamed, man of the match. I mean, he was supported by Lynch. But given... You know, the week we've had with Sass Davis having to going back to crew and then back out to Altrincham,
yeah.
And whatever you think about that, Mohamed, he's been low on confidence following a couple of ricochets that inadvertently went into the net. He's come back in today and he deserves man of the match. He's helped FC United score a couple of goals, in all fairness. They've come from him.
Yeah, from him winning the ball and then distributing it quickly. But I think today we've shown that we can... When we get it right, we can counter-attack as good as anyone in this division. We've got the pace, we've certainly got the movement, and the players are all working for each other. And yes, we scored three times at a ground that we'd never do anything at, but I'm sure the manager will be absolutely thrilled going home tonight.
High fives, hugs and all kinds of stuff going on there with the away following. Let's talk about Donoghue firstly as well. Donoghue missed a chance. I mean, he was great in the first half anyway, driving left, right and centre, and he helped create the first goal.
Smart management.
Yeah, a one-on-one chance right at the end of the first half, which Donoghue should have scored, in all fairness. A great save from Bursic.
Yeah.
But the first person Neil Reynolds goes up to as they're walking off is Donoghue.
He's got his arm round him and he's saying, don't worry about it, just go out in the second half and do the same again. And that's exactly what he did. He didn't let him dwell on the miss. And, you know, it's been right through the side. They've all performed to a high level this afternoon. You've seen a desire that we've not always seen from this team this afternoon, I think it's fair to say. The running and hard work, the hard yards have been put in for each other, not just for themselves. The passing has been slick. The movement's been good. The challenges, the number of 50-50s that were won, the second balls that were won.
We said about Mohamed and Lynch winning every ball. They never missed a header.
No.
I mean, the only mistake they made was the penalty right at the end there.
Yeah. One missed time challenge. Yeah.
And how important was Wallen and Winter?
Yeah, again, you know, the glue that held it together in the middle. But, you know, Willoughby ran miles today.
Yes, he did. He really did. Chasing every ball.
Yeah. And he was ably supported. And McHale on his debut, we've got to mention him.
Let's talk about McHale. I mean, he scored the first goal, obviously.
A great team move.
Yeah. I'll walk you through it. I mean, Mohamed winning their ball once again, midway in his own half. Heads it forward. Donoghue's there. in a pocket in the centre circle. He drives the ball forward out to the left hand side to Bannister. Bannister crosses that ball into the 6 yard to the penalty spot, and there's McHale.
McHale's got ahead of his man, slotted it in with what you could call a plum, I suppose, that other people use. But great team move, great finish. But that goal had been coming, and we'd said there were two chances before that where we threatened. So it wasn't any surprise when we took the lead this afternoon.
The only surprise really was, and that, this was the thing in the second half. I mean, if you're watching on One More Cup of Coffee, you can see the pitch, you can see the sand just here where those two men are walking there. It's
gingerly.
We described it. I've nicked this from John Walsh on Radio Cumbria, so I'm not describing Workington's pitch at Derwent Park. That Workington have often been good at sticky tacky football. FC United were good at sticky tacky football in that second half.
Well, we had the worst of it to defend, I think, in the first half. I think that was a good thing that we got that over with, because it was difficult with a long ball sometimes when it's hitting these sandy spots, and you don't know how it's going to bounce, if it is going to bounce or it's going to be just dying on your feet or whatever, and it's hard to anticipate. But
Neil.
But again, you know, we've got to talk about Fisher in goal as well.
Yes.
Another safe hands.
Safe.
He came and took everything, didn't he?
He really did. Well, we're going to be joined by manager Neil Reynolds. Hello, Neil.
Hey, Ben, you okay?
Yeah, you had a good afternoon?
Yeah, it's been tremendous, yeah. It's been good. Been good.
I've had worse afternoons, I'll be honest.
Every time we've come here, it's been worse, I can tell you.
Well, I've heard.
Let's talk about the game plan coming into this game. Because, you know, a lot of the talk has been about injuries and Sass Davis going back to Crewe and then out to Altrincham, and you were having to move players around, you know, thinking on the hoof and getting some players in and that kind of thing as well. How pleasing was the performance this afternoon, all things considered? The fact as well that we're playing at the New Brookshead Stadium, where we've not even led here, let alone drawn or won.
It was amazing, wasn't it? You know, from start to finish, I think we weathered the storm first 10 minutes and we got tight, and we changed our shape and we worked on that training this week. But, you know, to a man, substitutes, a squad, I mean, I said on the way down, I think 22 of us came here today with injuries and youth team players, under 21 players, and we're together. You know, we're in it together. And I just said to the lads in there, well, I said before the game, you know, we stick to the game plan, we don't change the game plan. We know we've got goals in here, got lads who go and put the bodies on the line, we can go and defend. And the game will open up for us. I mean, Telford can see pretty much every game. You know, you look at that. So I knew we'd score, but they also score every game. And, you know, obviously they've gone and done that. We should go in at half-time 3-0 up.
Yep.
If Manny and Donners does that. But you know, I said to the lads at half-time, you know, you go on the pitch, you're going to miss chances. That's part and parcel of football. I put my arm around Donoghue at half-time.
Well, we've mentioned that. Yeah, we've mentioned
just,
that.
Just, we'll talk about that now. I mean, Donoghue could have been the guy who scored the third goal in that first half. It was quite remarkable. A one-on-one, it was a good save, really, but he should have took it a bit earlier. Donoghue is a confidence player.
Yeah.
And he's had a great game.
His overall performance.
But how important was that management there at the end of that first half?
It's key, mate. You know, that I've said this, Mike Donoghue has got all the ability in the world, you know, and he's got a little bit lost in his career with Everton and Fleetwood. But you know what? He's playing for a club that he's got a manager that thinks the world of him. He's got lads who think the world of him. I think the fact the club thinks the world of him. And you see him put a performance in like that. I was good that he didn't score, because his performance deserved the goal. But, you know, he's just such a special talent. And you see him play like that today. And, you know, not just Mike, you know, everybody. But I had to say to him at half-time, because he does let things affect him. And, you know, the way we played first half, don't let it affect you. You're going to get more chances second half. And that's what we did. You know, that's what we did. And we won the game. And I couldn't be more proud.
We noticed today that there was a definite determination from the back line to win every ball in the air. Oh, yeah. And the second ball as well. And was that something that was picked up on pre-match, in terms of, if you compete and win all these 50-50s?
I mean, in fairness, Morgan Smith and Udo were nowhere in that first half.
What we worked on is distances. We knew Morgan Smith would come in between our full-back between our centre-half and our full-back, and he did that. And then they tried to spread play with the seven to cross it across for Udo. But, you know, we nullified that. We worked on it in training. But the key thing was that Wallen and Winter was always 10 yards away from the back four and winning every second ball.
And
they did that. And then when we got it, don't just sling it anywhere. Put it in good areas. And when we're playing the three behind the one, we got in little pockets and we made things happen. And when you've got the likes of Bannister there and today Don McHale there, you know, go 1v1 situations and Kurt run the channels, it worked, didn't it? It worked, and it was really pleasing.
I mean, Lynch, we've got used to the idea of him winning every header. Maybe occasionally he should score a goal.
Yeah,
that would be handy. I mean, that was ridiculous, that miss. Yeah. But anyway, Mohamed.
Our man of the match.
Our man of the match. I think he's the match report man of the match as well. He was stunning, wasn't he?
Unbelievable.
He helped set up the first goal. In
yeah, he did. I mean, I took Zen out of the side. You know, there's not really more bones about it. He's a young lad. He made a couple of mistakes in his eyes. His confidence dipped a little bit. And you know, as a manager, you know, you've got to take people out. And I said that to Accrington Stanley. You know, the reasons why. But you know, even if Billy Sass Davis didn't go back, and I'm not saying that as an excuse, Zen was ready. You know, I could see in his eyes. He's trained really well this week. And sometimes young lads need taking out. His performance today next to Lynch was incredible. You know, like you said, his tackles, his headers, his overall positioning, his talking, his commanding. You know, 18.
He was telling O'Halloran what to do.
Yeah, 18. You know, and he's pleasing, isn't it? I mean, I could honestly today go through absolutely everybody and give you a full dossier.
Have you got enough time? Because yeah. I'd like to.
You had a goal scoring debutant.
Yes. Let's talk about McHale. I mean,
someone said he was a bad signing this morning, I think, but I'm not sure. Anyway, tongue in cheek, somebody on social media.
Signing number 54?
257, well, I think.
250. Yeah. Oh, now you know who you're talking to. Oh, a bit of fame for you.
Yeah.
Great. Really great. I mean, he did a touch when the ball was about to go out of play behind the byline there, where he hooked it back. It was an amazing touch. And the goal he scored was worked really well anyway from everyone involved, to be honest.
Do you know, we bring people into the team and we don't just bring them in. I mean, you ask anybody connected with the club. Don McHale's trained with us now for the last 5 weeks. You know, and he came in and a little bit lost and career was going, you know, he kind of didn't know where to go. And he's trained with us, he's worked hard, he's done all the shape work with us, he's got himself fit. So I know he's been announced as a new signing today, but it's not kind of I've gone and got him and go and put him in. We're trying to bring lads through and nurture them and get them used to the way we play. You know, Don McHale knew exactly how to play today on the right-hand side. He's trained with us every week, we've done the shape work. And, you know, yes, he scored in his debut and it's fantastic. And his overall performance was great. He came off, he was shattered, the lad. You know, it's his first competitive game of football in maybe 2 months. He was absolutely shattered. He'd given everything, but he's exciting, isn't he?
Very,
you know, you get 1v1 situations.
Yeah. We've forgiven him now for scoring against us in August.
So, you know, he's just another one that we're building this squad, aren't we? We're all desperate to stay in this league, but we're building a squad and we're building the togetherness. And you can feel it on the coach, you can feel it in the dressing room, you can feel the togetherness. And I keep talking about that culture. It takes a long time to get there, and it's not an excuse, but we're getting there. There's a real trust in that dressing room now, and we're getting there.
It was an interesting decision you made a couple of weeks ago, putting Willoughby as your captain.
Yeah.
He really led from the front today. He chased everything, didn't he?
Harry Winter's a leader, you know, and it was a bit. I've come across players like Harry before. He doesn't need the armband to make him tick. Again, he was awesome today. I needed a little bit more from Kurt. I needed him to carry the team, if you will, in certain situations.
Take responsibility.
His goals are great. And be more vocal. You know, Kurt Willoughby, you've got to play for England City. You play for FC United. You score 15, 16 goals this season. Go and show what you're about. You might be 22, but you're good enough to lead a team. And, yeah, you know, he's been captain for 4 games. You haven't lost in 4 games.
No.
I don't know if that's got anything to do with it. But, you know, his overall performance is improving. What I like today, he scored from the 18-yard box. The 18-yard box, and trust me, if we've spent an hour, we have spent hours and hours and hours and been doing that today, and I'm delighted for the kid.
You came here on Tuesday. You were probably aware when you first walked in of the pitch.
We heard it was worse in midweek than today.
But it was. Yeah. But that's why we played in narrow three behind Kurt. You know, and we tried to. Mm. That's why I played Bannister on the left, coming on his right, and McHale on the right, coming on his left. And you know, we knew the wide with the channel areas were difficult to play in. But yeah, we did my homework, but they were very good in midweek. In patches today, they were very good. I mean, what I will say about Telford, I'm desperate for him to go on and beat Leinster next week, and I want him to, you know, do the league proud of themselves. Brad, I'm really good friends with the manager, and it's difficult when you're friends with someone and you get the points off them. They're a good side. They're a very, very good side, and I want them to be special. But yes, I did my homework on the pitch. We worked on it in training, and you know, it's our day today, isn't it? And we're delighted with it.
Radio Cumbria, as John Walsh describes the park and the way we work to play there, sticky, tacky football, and I think that was the second half, in all fairness. So, passing the ball about at will at times. It was great to watch. York coming up next on a better pitch, let's say. I'm going to ask you a similar question that I've asked you every single week. That's a big game, that, isn't it?
It's a massive game, isn't it? You know, I think every game's a massive game now. We talked about 12 cup finals. We set out a mini league, you know, 12 games ago, and I haven't hidden this mini league. And I've said to the lads about the points total, and yeah, we didn't get the ones that we wanted against Hereford and Guiseley, but we didn't, you know, we went and got Southport, and now we've come here and got 3. So we've done it the other way around. The mini league's very much alive, and what the mini league is we're trying to get people in and around us, pull them in. See if we can snatch points off people. Today, I think the teams in the round us have got beat, so we've clawed points back. And
we've gone off to 20th.
We're 20th. And we're four games unbeaten. So going into the York game next week, we're going into it with confidence. We certainly won't take anything for granted. You know, I remember we went to Bradford and it was a great performance. And the week after, we went to Ashton and didn't do ourselves justice. So, you know, make no bones about it. These lads aren't going to get above the station. I'm going to let them enjoy today. Certainly, they're going to be a great coach journey home now. But then Tuesday night, hard work starts again, and we prepare ourselves for York next week and feet on the floor. But I just said to every fan there, like I do everybody, just keep believing. And I haven't lost that belief. And until, like I said, until somebody tells me that we can't do it, then we very much believe we can do it. And it'll be a remarkable achievement if we do. And today was a statement, in my opinion.
It really was. And one final person I'd like to mention was Tom Pearce, because when he came on, I think he really, really helped. To be honest, he was right back, yeah, right forward, striker. He was all over the place, wasn't he?
And he got his goal. You know, yeah, and his attitude was
he just has a knack.
I left three strikers on the bench today, and you know that wasn't being defensive, but their attitudes have been great. And you know, we all need to be together now, and that's what we are. And you know, let's look forward to York next week, and like we say, get Broadhurst Park rocking, and let's hope we can get the 3 points.
Well, Neil, a big thank you for joining us as always.
Thank you.
Congratulations again.
Thanks
and,
very much, guys.
We'll speak to you next week. Right, so that's probably the end of FC Live, unless you... Oh, I know what we could do. We could read you out the full-time scores. And
confirm our new position.
We can, yeah. We're 20th. Ashton United 0, Bradford Park Avenue 2 is a full-time score at Hurst Cross, which means on goal difference now we've moved up to 20th position. That's 3 points behind Geisler, who've got a better goal difference, in all fairness. And Geisler not playing today due to a waterlogged pitch. So Chester 1, Leamington 1. So we've closed the gap up with Leamington as well. It's 7 points now to Leamington. Darlington got beat 2. They were beaten by Hereford, unfortunately. Probably preferred a draw. So Leamington, Darlington, 7 points up the road. Geisler, 3 points up the road. But crucially, Ashton United being beaten today as well. So it's on, Paul.
It's certainly on. From being 6 points adrift, we're only 3 adrift now. And it's getting scarily closer. Another win next Saturday puts intense pressure on Geisley. I'm not sure who Geisley play next Saturday, but they'll begin to feel the heat a bit more tonight than they did before.
Yes. And that's the thing, isn't it? When you add pressure to the
pressure is a different thing, isn't it?
Pressure versus momentum.
Yeah.
And it's clear now, based on the last 3 performances where we've dug out draws, the win here today, there's momentum now.
You have to say that if we play like we have done today in any of the last 8 games, there is a strong chance we will actually win them and win them well. That's how good it was this afternoon.
It really was good. It was.
And we're not just exaggerating that.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure if you ask most of the Telford following today, they'll say they were well beaten.
Well, it's been a great afternoon. I hope you've all enjoyed it at home.
It may never happen again, so we're savouring the moment here at the new Bucks Head.
Yes.
We've waited 4 years for this, to get absolutely anything out of this ground.
You know what, Paul? I might get a curry tonight to celebrate. Well, I'll just do that. I might treat myself. Yeah.
It's a pretty special afternoon for those of us that have come here year after year and said, oh dear, here we go again.
But not today. Oh no. This has been SCLI brought to you by constructivecoding.com and the Armchair Army. But a big thank you to Woodzo and a big thank you to Stato Paul for joining me on this week's commentary. But we'll be back for men's team action next Saturday live at Broadhurst Park, where it's FC United against York City. It's on, you know.
It's definitely on.
It's definitely on.
You can smell it.
Have fun, everyone, and have a lovely Saturday. Bye-bye.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon following FC United's superb 3-1 victory over AFC Telford United. And as well as being FC United's first ever win at the new Bucks Head, it was also FC's first goal of the season, scored within the first 15 minutes of the second half. On the way back to Manchester, Ben caught up with the man who did it, Kurt Willoughby.
Now, hello, Kurt. Welcome to the radio. A special moment today, which I don't think you're aware of.
No.
FC United all season have not scored between the minutes of 46 and 60 minutes.
All right.
And a member of the Armchair Army called Paul the Pen from the Isle of Man
sent
through a postcard, which reads the following. Okay, this has gone on long enough. A whole tin of famous Manx knobs to the player who next scores between the minutes of 45 and 60 minutes. There is a sell-by date, by the way, of October 2019.
Right, okay.
But on behalf of the Armchair Army, well done. You are the first player.
Yeah.
Don't worry, they're just sweets. So nothing naughty or anything like that.
Right.
What do you think of today's game?
No, it was good. There's been a good buzz the whole week, training. Everyone's been together. There's been a good buzz on the way down on the coach. We're all together laughing and joking. talking, and shoulders came together, and we knew we were good enough. It's just putting the performance in, and we did today. And on if we finished our chances that we had, it could have been 6 or 7, but a win's a win, and we just need to kick on now.
And the thing is as well, Neil Reynolds was made your captain.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know this as well, we haven't lost since you became captain.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I know that. No, I'm proud to be captain, and I love to lead the team on the pitch, and it's new to me. I've never been made the official captain before, but no, I'm happy, and yeah, like you say, I'm beaten when I've been captain, so it's good.
And scored in the 18-yard box.
Yeah, that's what I've been working on. I know I haven't scored as many as I'd like to, but no, I've been working on that, and yeah, it's came off today.
Well, congratulations again. Don't eat them all at once, and make sure you brush your teeth after you've ate them.
All right. Thank you. Cheers.
Ben there speaking to FC United captain Kurt Willoughby on the way back from Telford on Saturday. It's back to Broadhurst Park for this Saturday for FC United as the Reds host York City. Kick-off this Saturday will be at 3 p.m. But remember, if you cannot make this match in person, then have no fear. The FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live on Saturday from 2:30 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk. And that's it for this week's This Club Is My Club. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesdays at 12:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk. And on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9:05 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store. And all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUMradio. A big thank you to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.